Welcome back to the Matchday Rounder. We have got match week 7 for you now. We have got the Wanderers facing Sydney FC, and we have also got the Newcastle Jets facing St George. We have an interview with Ramesh Haraf of Newcastle, and we also have a written interview that I conducted with Abdullah Karim. On to the show. In the opening minutes of the reserve grade game between the Western Sydney Wanderers and Sydney FC, the hunger of the Sky Blues, sitting bottom of the table, was apparent. Sydney's desire to prove themselves was solidified in the 8th minute when a pass from last week's interviewee Riley Brown was sent to George Tiong, whose soft but precise shot snuck between the Wanderers' defence, sending Sydney 1-0 up. This pressure continued after this goal, with the Sky Blues probing the Wanderers' defence time after time. Yet they would only get one more goal despite their chances before the end of the first half, when a free kick from Fletcher Ball in the 18th minute met George Tiong once again, this time his shot bouncing off of Reyes before entering the goal, providing a great sense of confusion for the Wanderers. This second goal saw a tactical change for the Wanderers, moving their experienced keeper Taylor into the middle of the park for his team. Whilst his desire was evident, he was not able to turn this into goals as the first half ended 2-0 to Sydney. The second half showed a lot more promise for the Wanderers' side, adding a fairly significant number to the few chances they'd had in the first half. Despite these chances, Sydney were defensively solid as the Wanderers continued to threaten. However, the most threatening of chances for the Wanderers came when a miscommunication in the Sydney defensive area saw a penalty given to the Red and Black, calmly taken by the host of your favourite Power Jet Football podcast, Jackson Taylor. The Wanderers were given a slight glimpse of hope in this game. They had multiple chances after this goal, however, were not able to crack the Sydney defence for the second time. Their hope would turn to desperation when a second penalty was given, however this one against the Wanderers. Fletcher Ball's strong penalty sealed the Sky Blues' victory late in the derby, as Sydney FC defeated the Wanderers 3-1. The Premier League-Sydney derby immediately juxtaposed the threat that Sydney had shown in the reserve grade match, with the Red and Black looking the most threatening in the opening minutes. It was also apparent that the Wanderers, after having 5 losses in their opening 5, were keen to change up their system to ensure as much success as they could. They did this by transitioning their goalkeeper, Andy Waite, into a more advanced position, whilst moving Jackson Taylor into the goalkeeping role. This switch almost instantly proved effective, as in the 3rd minute, a sideline from Steve Webb met Andy Waite, whose long-range shot had beaten the Sydney defence, sending the winless side 1-0 up early on. The Sydney side, faced with multiple player absences, were not put off by this goal, rather continued to show hunger and attack. These attacks were, however, handled well by the Wanderers' defence, maintaining their clean sheet despite the strong directive of captain Chris Suffield and coach Jason Ryan. The Wanderers were left underwhelmed as the first half came to a close, as despite their high number of chances, they were not able to get another goal before the halftime whistle blew. Chances continued for the Wanderers throughout the beginning of the second half. The Red and Black even managed to score a goal. However, the effort from Waite was disallowed after a 2-on-1 between himself and Keat was given. As the minutes winded down, Sydney made a tactical adjustment, bringing their goalkeeper, Fletcher Ball, into a more advanced position in the hope that the combined experience of him and Suffield could turn the game on its head. Their wish would not be fulfilled, however, as the full-time whistle blew, the Wanderers beating Sydney FC 1-0. In the reserve grade game between the Newcastle Jets and St George, the St George side appeared the most threatening in the opening of the game, despite only fielding 3 players. They proved their strength 7 minutes in, when a free kick saw Ibrahim Khan link up with Ruby McLean, the latter's hit sending her team 1-0 up. Newcastle fought back after this goal, with St George defending well from the strong set pieces the Jets are known for. The St George defence stayed strong as the first half progressed, the score remaining 1-0 upon the end of the first half. In the second half, Newcastle seemed reinvigorated, having multiple corners in the opening minutes. They were unable to convert these chances, however, until a sideline from Ramesh Haraf in the 27th minute met Shannon Anlazakwell as his near-post shot snuck past the St George defence to equalise the game. As the game wound down, the Newcastle side defended well, in their attempt to continue their unbeaten run. Their attempt would prove successful, as neither side would find a winning goal, with the matchup between first and second ending as a stalemate. I spoke to Remeth, who provided the assist for Newcastle's equalising goal. Here's the clip.
So I'm Remeth Herath, I'm 22 years of age, and I play for Newcastle Jets reserve grade team.
Perfect. So Remeth, what are your initial thoughts after that match?
Yeah, it was good. I could have done better. I could have stopped the goal. But it's good, but I feel like we should have won because there were three players on the other team, and
Look, it's a mindset thing sometimes, you know. The next thing I wanted to talk to you about is that this is your second draw in a row for Newcastle.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you make sure that those draws don't turn into losses?
Maybe, focus on the game a bit more and focus on, like, not conceding any more goals.
Usually the team who concedes less actually wins, so that is a pretty smart observation from you, Romet. How does it feel to get your first assist of the season?
Yeah, pretty good. Might be better if I got a goal, but pretty good.
You still made a goal happen.
Yeah.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah, pretty happy.
Yeah. And the last thing which I'm asking of everyone is I want you to make a prediction for me, either for yourself or for Newcastle as a whole, and I'm going to review it at the end of the season. So what is it?
I think for me, maybe at least like one goal.
One
for
goal?
For the season, and for the team, I think hopefully winning the whole season.
For reserve grade or prem or both?
Yeah, for the reserve grade.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
How many assists do you reckon you're going to get?
Maybe a few more. A
few more?
Yeah.
All right, perfect.
We'll see.
The Premier League match between Newcastle and St George began with the St George side, despite facing player absences, showing their strength even as an infant side. They showed this strength early on, forcing Seck to make a save on the line from a strong sideline link-up between Karim and Khan. Newcastle, possessing one of the strongest sides in the country, worked their way into the game quickly, having a high amount of promising attacks in the first half. However, the St George side remained strong in defence as the first half ended nil-all. Newcastle, keen to maintain their perfect record, were applying significant pressure on the St George defence, who remained stable. The set pieces that the side are most recognisable by were not proven as successful as they typically are, the St George defence having the answers to every question the Jets posed. As the end of the game grew nearer, the Jets' desperation became more and more evident, as they possessed the majority of the chances towards the end of the game. With a mixture of chances just missed and of strong St George saves, the game ended nil-all, with Newcastle dropping their first points in the Premier League this season. I conducted a written interview with St George captain Abdullah Karim regarding this match. My questions will be heard in your left ear, whilst his responses will be heard in your right ear. What are your initial thoughts after that match? I thought we played great. There was no way we were thinking that we were going to get the better off the number one ranked team in the comp, and with all respect, possibly the number one team in Australia. But we'll see what club's championship has on offer this year, as it is held in Brisbane, not Sydney. So it's something different, something good for the game. It hasn't been in Brisbane for 6 years, so it'll be good. But back to the game, we just had to throw everything out there. And I just want to mention, we had two reserve grade players out there. So imagine how they would have been feeling making their first Premier League match debut. Mate, it'll be overwhelming, that's for sure. But nah, they did well, I thought. Ruby McLean had a dynamite game in both grades, especially getting her second goal of the season in the reserves match. And credit to the Jets, you know, their passing game is electric. It's something special. Made me run around side to side. I was out of breath, but we knew we had to hang in there, and Vidakovic, full credit to him, if it wasn't for Vidakovic at the back, saving our back sides, I think that scoreline could have easily been like 5 or 6 goals to the Jets' way. But well done both teams, and especially for us, and we'll get back to training on Thursday afternoon and look to make a big one against the Sky Blues next Saturday. Sydney FC are never an easy task. They've been giving us problems lately in the scrimmage match we had a couple of weeks back, but I've been chatting to the coach and he doesn't look worried at all, so yeah, we'll see what happens. What happened to your chair during the game? There was a loose nail or bolt that came off from my left driving wheel, and officials thought more nuts or bolts may have come off towards the half time, but Emma, the legend referee she is, she confirmed that none came off, only the official first time where she kindly replaced it back for me with her bare hands, so it was very nice of Emma to do that, as it's not her job, but I also don't mind the breather, to be honest. I was out of breath doing so much defence, so I don't know if he was allowed to do that, but my carer quickly came on and gave me a sip of water. I think I called him on also, but he did signal me the bottle of water, and yeah, I felt fine after that. I didn't think he played any effect to the match. I'm going to make a prediction, and I'll review it at the end of this season. So, Abs, what is your prediction? I'm going to say Jets to win the comp, and you can throw a handkerchief on the rest to be respectful, I can't see the Jets going down even after that draw against us, but hey, you never know what's going to happen. That's why this game is so great. Hey, so I kind of just wanted to add another little segment after the interviews each week where I kind of give a brief overview of both how the table and statistics are looking for both competitions. So we're going to start with the reserve grade. In fifth place, we have Sydney FC sitting on 4 points. In fourth place, we have Hills United also sitting on 4 points. In third place, we have the Wanderers with 7 points. In second place, we have Football St George on 10 points. And in first place, we have Newcastle Jets on 14 points. Moving over to the statistics now, the top goal scorer is Newcastle's Shannon Anlazar with 5 goals. He also has the most assists in the competition, having 4. And he and myself, Jackson Taylor of the Western Sydney Wanderers, share the most clean sheets in the competition, both having 2 apiece. Moving on to the Premier League table now, in 5th place sit the Western Sydney Wanderers on 3 points. In 4th, we have Sydney FC with 7 points. In 3rd, we have Hills United also with 7 points. And in 2nd, we have Football St George, who also sit on 7 points. And in 1st, we have Newcastle with 16 points. Onto the statistics now, and the leading goal scorer is Newcastle's Chris Hastas, who has 8 goals so far this campaign. Whilst Newcastle's Ryan Seck has the most assists, having assisted 5 so far this season. Clean sheets goes to another Newcastle player, with Dimitri Leolio-Davis having 5 clean sheets so far this season. You can get involved in power chair football here in New South Wales as an athlete, coach, referee or volunteer by visiting the NSW PFA website linked below. Our season takes place in Glenwood at the Valentine Sports Park from the 24th of February 2024 to the 6th of July 2024 every Saturday. Contact info at nswpfa.org.au for more information. Just a quick note that the views of this podcast are mine and mine alone. The opinions and thoughts expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the NSWPFA. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, you can follow us at Powered by Football Pod on Instagram, join our Facebook group, Powered by Football Podcast, or follow our Twitter account, Powered by Pod. Thanks for listening.